The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Melissa Dell,
Katie Pills,
Ryan Pills,
and Matt Ryan
in the house.
Welcome to the house, Matt.
Oh, thanks, guys. It's great to be back.
It is, and that's super fantastic. You are one of our very few guests who have ever, first off, even been in the studio, and second off, been back twice.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody else is missing out. They don't know what they're missing.
They do not. We've been hanging out, having all kinds of fun. We've been playing a lot of top secret-y things that we're going to talk about in a future episode.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks so much for joining us. We've had a blast. Matt came down from Knoxville to hang out with us for the day. We've played a bunch of just games that we can talk about. A couple of those were new to you, right? What did we play? What hadn't you played that we played tonight?
We played Tiny Towns, which was new to me. It's a new AEG, and I had a really good time with it. It seems like it's a lot of replayability.
It does, yeah, very much so. We have a video that we're going to be putting together soon for that, where we can, like, play with, the audience can play with us. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I don't know when that goes live. That sounds really
cool. That's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to that, too.
And then, so we played that, and Sarah, I think, beat us, probably.
Yeah, by a lot.
I didn't say beat us, saying nicely stomped us might be more the word.
Yeah, I think you doubled mine and tripled Matt's or something like that. But it was Matt's first time playing. You did really well.
Yeah.
I think you had higher scores than our, we still have the score sheets from old games, and you played much better than my first round ever.
Yes, you did.
Sarah.
Then we played, we pulled down, what did we pull next? War Chest?
Yes.
That's another AEG. We were on an AEG roll night, huh?
I know. We did the little 2v2.
Yeah, that was good. Melissa joined us for that.
Yeah, it was my first time playing, so it was really interesting to try to strategize with the different pieces and work together.
Now, you heard us talk about it a number of times before. Was it kind of what you expected, or was it like, oh, this is not what I thought it was?
I think so. I think you all did such a great job explaining it, so...
That was a great setup. I didn't even mean for that, but thank you. And then we finally pulled out, what was the third one? Oh, Goo Gone. It's that stuff you spray on and get rid of.
Yeah, it gets all the sticky adhesive off stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Goo Gong? How do you say it? Am I right on?
I don't know. There's a...
Gotta get the gong.
There's an apostrophe or accent or something in there that I'm not quite sure because I don't know Mandarin, so...
Yeah, it's probably really different sounding when somebody who speaks Chinese actually says
no, I'm sure. And then Melissa hadn't played that one either, right?
I had not. Mm-mm.
Yeah, and Matt, had you played that one?
I had not.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Yeah, and we had not played at four players. We had played at three.
Mm-hmm. Two and three.
So I felt like it was a much more difficult game because you couldn't plan too far ahead. You kind of had to wait almost till your turn because... A lot of times the cards that you wanted to replace were already
replaced by somebody else,
and then you weren't able to do it. So, yeah, it was a little trickier.
I felt like it was tighter, yeah. Like, you have... When we played two-player or three, I don't remember which one it was, I felt like I had plenty of workers every turn. Like, it was no problem at all. And then this one, every time, I was like, I need, like, two more to do anything this turn. That's a tight one, and it's beautiful. I love the art on that.
Yeah, it's very gratifying. I mean, even at the end, even though I wasn't the winner, at the end I was still very gratified and happy with what I'd done. Like, it's always one of the best parts when you get to the end of a game like that. You've invested the time, and you're like, all right, I'm happy with what I did here.
Mm-hmm.
Who won that one?
It was a little bit of an asterisk, I think, but it was me.
Well, I think it came down to the tiebreaker, and even then it was still a tie.
We did mess up a little bit in the game where we were stacking our egg-shaped tokens, whatever they're called, I don't know.
Yeah.
And we hadn't paid attention early in the game to, like, which order we were stacking them in. So Melissa ended up on top of my token at the end of the game, which means that she wins the ties, And then
there were two ties to be broken between Melissa and Will. So then we're like, I don't know who gets what points because we don't actually know which token is supposed to beat the other token. I guess we'll give it to both. And then we got to the end and it was like, whoever's further on the track is the winner. And we're like, ah, oh, we don't know. They both win.
And I'll admit there may have been a discrepancy where my token may have gotten a couple extra victory points earlier in the game.
What? Will?
That's like your standard operating procedure. It
is. I accidentally started with 10
points.
It wasn't
me. Somebody else moved my token for me, and then we were like, shoot, did we reset that? It just happened to be luck or not luck. I don't know. But it was a tight game. I think the score was within like 2 points for everybody. So
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Each player was like two ahead of the other. So
yeah,
it was cool.
And Will and Sarah did a lot of Jade and got a ton of points from that. And then Matt and I, we did more of the, is it decrees?
The decrees, yeah.
So we got a lot of points from that, and it sort of evened out.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by how tight it was at the end, because we had all taken different approaches. Like, Matt jumped up really quick on the middle king favor track, whatever that thing is called. So he got the 7 points for being up there at the first, at the top, and then didn't have to worry about any, like, taking those actions later in the game. And then I think, Melissa, like, did you cross it on
the last card?
Her last card put her over the edge and kept her from not losing the game. So, yeah, lots of different strategy. Points
salad. Kind of a nail-biter then.
Yeah, but a lot of fun. I enjoyed that one. And then we obviously played some new Bezier games that we're going to talk about on next week's episode, so make sure you tune in. We're going to have Matt back as a house guest next week, and we'll talk through our experience playing...
All right, let's give a shout out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Bezier Games, and we're so excited that Matt is here with us in person in the house.
One thing we didn't mention earlier that I actually am like geeky excited about is that not only did Matt like drive down to hang out with us, he drove the mega awesome box truck that's wrapped in awesome Bezier graphics.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And you know what else is cool?
And it's parked in my driveway.
It's so cool that all the neighborhood kids were like, that's the ultimate werewolf truck. We play that game all the time.
Matt walked out and they were like, are you the guy that invented it?
Yeah, I took one step out of the door and I had a group of kids go, did you make One Night Ultimate Werewolf? I'm like, no, not me, but
I know a guy.
But I know a guy.
Oh, that's funny.
It was super. That is one of their favorite games. Like,
it is. They probably play that game the most of any games.
Yeah, our kids go to the neighbor's house to play that game. We intentionally didn't buy it because I was like, well, let them have fun at the neighbor's house with that one. We'll get werewolves and everything else. We'll play that here. But you guys go over there. Really fun. So we were talking a little bit about conventions earlier. Mm-hmm. What were you saying you guys will be at first or next?
So the next convention you will see us at is Geekway to the West in St. Louis.
Oh, wow, cool.
So that one is coming up.
Do you drive to that one as well?
Yeah. We'll take the big old truck and load up and haul our way out there. That one's a lot of fun. It's kind of smaller. It's a low-key one. So those ones are the most fun because you get the most time to play and enjoy.
Agreed.
I don't think any of us will be at that one. Are you going to be at Origins? Obviously, you guys will be at Origins.
Oh, yeah. I'm like you. I'm a Columbus guy from Ohio, so I get to go home for Origins. And, I'll be super excited to see all you guys there. We'll have to sit down over some Donato's pizza.
Yes! He's speaking my love language.
Will, are you going to be there?
Oh, no. Man, that is a tough one.
But his wife will eat some
Maybe
pizza
I'll sneak
in honor
up
of
there.
Him.
Yeah, I think just Sarah and Melissa are going from the team this year, right?
Yeah.
So...
we'll
it would surprise me
Live
if Will somehow sneaks up there.
Anyway.
We'll work it out. We'll make it happen.
We'll eat pizza on your behalf. Don't
worry.
The Donato's manager in Spartanburg asked if we wanted him to cater our next Tantrum Con for something.
Right?
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
And we should have said yes. I think we did, right?
I think
Let's
we took a card.
We definitely did. Yeah.
So, the answer is always yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, let's talk about Tantrum Con next year. Matt?
Yeah, no. You guys have, we had a little conflict in dates this year, but next year you better believe. Yeah, you better believe I'm going to be there next year.
Yes! Awesome. And you're bringing the big werewolf, right?
Yeah, his name is Waldo.
Giant Waldo.
Yeah, we'll haul up in the truck and we'll bring Waldo.
Awesome.
And we'll have a really good time.
Oh, man. I can't wait.
I'm
just got really excited.
I know! The giant werewolf. I'm getting a picture with him this year. I meant to do it when I saw him at Origins. Gen Con this past year. But I was like, I missed out because I had to run back from my break. But I'm getting a picture with him this
time.
He'll
be at your guys' convention. He'll be at your show, so you have plenty of time to get
pictures.
Awesome.
I can't wait. Everybody probably wants to know when tickets are going on sale. And so do I. We're working on the details. We, I think, have narrowed down the venue, and hopefully we'll have a contract in hand really soon. We'll definitely let you guys know the details on when we're launching and ticket prices and all that good stuff. But stay tuned, because it's not ready yet. I think we can roll right now, though, into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
Hey everyone, this week on the conniption we're going to be talking about seven games coming to Kickstarter for the week of April 22nd, and we're going to go ahead and have Sarah start us off.
Coming on April 23rd is Bloodborne, the board game. I know a lot of people are excited about this one. They've been waiting for it to launch. This is from Come On Limited and designed by Eric Lang and Michael Chenal. And this is a 1-4 player board game version of the already...
Saying, there's a card game,
yes,
right?
The already released card game that's been out for a couple years. And this plays in about 45 to 75 minutes. I'm sure there's a little bit of variance there for player count. So if you're interested in this one, go ahead and check out Bloodborne, the board game. And I'm sure they're going to have some awesome, cool stretch goals like Come On usually does. So check that one out. Will, what are you talking about?
So I'm pretty excited about Kingswood, which is coming from 25th Century Games. It is a card game that's really, it's got a really nice weight to it, like really good family weight. It's a really nice, I wouldn't say it's a filler game because it's a little bit more than that. But it's got a really nice little illustration style. Basically, it's one of those games where it's a light worker placement. You set up a ring of cards. I can't remember if it's like 5 or 8 cards, but you make a town out of them. And then each turn you will remove one meeple from the board and take whatever action that was at that location. And then you'll put that meeple that you picked somewhere else on the board and you'll take that action. So you're getting 2 actions every turn.
Oh.
And you're basically collecting like knowledge, which are like book tokens, fighting power, which are swords, health, coins, I think is the other thing. And you you collect all these resources, and then you use them to fight bad guys that come out of the woods, which is kind of cool. The interesting part about the game is that you don't spend the tokens, like you don't put them back in the box. You just flip them over. So throughout the course of the game, you're adding more fighting ability, more health to your pile, and then you're going to town to reset them, so you flip them all back over.
Oh, so there's like a spent and unspent side.
Right, so at the beginning of the game, you may only have like 1 heart, 1 sword, 1 book, but by the end of the game, you got like 7 of them, and 1 flip-over action, it flips over all your swords, and so now you've got tons of power to go into the forest and kill super baddies. And there's also, I don't remember what they're called, like I could have looked this up in the description, but it's like either chapters or segments or whatever. The decks get harder as you get further down into the deck of monsters that you're fighting. Mm-hmm. And they actually become, like, stackable. So at the early phases of the game, you're, like, killing little goblin doodad, little tiny guys.
Doodads.
Yeah. But then once you get to that second chapter of the deck, you start fighting, like, the goblin overlord. And if you kill the mega dude, then he, like, doubles the points of all the little goblins that you've killed. Mm. So I think, I don't remember what it is, like 20 points or something is
so
the end of the game.
So is this co-op or...?
No, individual.
Okay.
And you're racing to fight bad guys before everybody else can. And you... like go from having like 7 points to all of a sudden you kill 2 new guys and now you've got like 14, 15, 16, 17 and the game's almost over in like 2 turns. So it ramps up, has a really nice ramp up at the end. Mm-hmm. Several of the cards are replaceable, so you get a different experience every time you play the game. One of the cards is a promo card on our Kickstarter.
What?
Which,
it's already over.
Oh, shucks. Time travel kills us again. If you were lucky enough to back our Kickstarter, you might have gotten one of our promo cards, which is the House of Tantrums, I think is what it's called. And it allows you to like flip your tokens into the box, and whichever ones flip over to the recharged side, like you get to keep all those, which I think is pretty cool. And it has our tantrum house on it, and a table flipped over. Super cool.
Yep.
Check that one out from Kingswood. Really fun game. Really enjoy the stuff that 25th Century is putting out. Be sure to check out Kingswood. Ryan, what are you looking at?
Coming April 23rd from, I believe it's called Smunchy Games, is Pads World of Adia. And this is a tabletop RPG, but there are a lot of tabletop RPGs out there. This one has three things that just jumped out at me as being very distinct. So it does have some great fantasy world building. There's some interesting stuff that I haven't seen in other fantasy worlds. But what this game has going for it is card-based. Everything is done with cards.
Oh.
Your encounters, your actions. It looks like just everything's done with cards. It has a aggro and threat system that's like on a sliding scale. So you draw threat to yourself.
That's interesting.
People pay more
that
attention
is really
to you.
Different.
And because it is card-based, they have some system in place where they call it GM in a box. And you can supposedly play the game with your friends and not have to have one person set aside as the game master telling the story.
Wow.
I don't know if that breaks the immersion.
Yeah,
but
I wonder how that's going to work.
I always think it's cool when someone tries to do that because it is a hard thing
it's
to
work.
Do to have a GM-less RPG. So definitely check that one out. One other thing, not so much the system, but if you want to play an anthropomorphic elephant person,
it's available.
That's in this game.
Wow.
So check it out.
I can't even repeat that. Anthropomorphic elephant person.
Yeah.
Whew.
Okay.
Paths. World of Adia. It's coming on the 23rd.
Sounds cool.
Katie, what do you got?
All right. So, bum, bum, bum. Jurassic World, the miniatures war game coming out.
War game?
The war game.
Nice.
What? Yes. Now...
So is it dinosaur on dinosaur or like keepers on dinosaurs or
both?
What?
Oh. Yes.
You can recruit the Velociraptors
Carnage.
To ride beside
yeah.
you on your motorcycle?
Sure. Yes. You can do all
true.
Of that.
I
know. So this is it's got miniatures, but it is a deck building miniatures game.
Deck building miniatures?
I know.
My mind is being blown.
I know. I am really interested to see how this is going to work out.
Is it licensed too? Like it is actually Jurassic Park? Or is it?
Well, they are definitely using the art. If
what?
It's not licensed, they are definitely stealing. I'm hoping it's licensed.
Cool.
So. Anyway, it seems like it'll be really exciting. Well, first of all, love Jurassic Park, so
I literally
all
saw you
that.
Yesterday wearing a Jurassic Park t-shirt, I remember.
Yes, I have several. but yeah, so you build your deck, and you can either choose heroes or dinosaurs, and then you choose actions, and then they have asymmetrical abilities, as you would imagine. The T-Rex does not have the same abilities that, you know, one of the heroes has. One of the humans is not going to be, you know,
he's
chomping the
smart.
Head off of somebody. You know, that kind of stuff. But
can I play as Jeff Goldblum? That's the real question.
I think
like,
it says
it's
that.
It's licensed and
yeah.
you can't?
It says
it's like
stupid.
Sexy Jeff Goldblum with your shirt open, just like
probably.
Laying in the back of a Jeep.
Yes, it says... It says specifically you can build your army of dinosaurs or heroes from the movie Saga. All
right, cool.
So I am expecting to see
it'll
the
probably
actors
be like a stretch goal or
the sexy Goldblum
right, exactly.
version.
$100,000
alternate sculpt. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That would just be awesome. If you're listening, you need that right now.
Put that in your
game. Anyway, so that is the Jurassic World Miniatures War Game.
Who was publishing it? Do
this
we know?
Is Exod Games with Universal Studios.
Okay.
So I, yeah, sounds super legit and official then.
Cool.
All right, Melissa.
Well, the game I'm looking at also sort of has a Jurassic theme, although it's not Jurassic Park. It's called Mammoth, and it is published by Soaring Rhino Games and designed by Jeff and Craig Van Ness. And it's coming either this week or next week. It's for 2 to 4 players, plays in about 45 minutes, and this is a game that is tile laying, and you're trying to recreate the biomes for the mammoths. It has two modes of play. You can play either competitively or cooperatively, so you have shared goals that you're trying to do if you're playing cooperative. This is something that we have played here at Tantrum House, and we're going to have a preview video and a playthrough video of this, so you can kind of see how it plays. But basically, you're going to lay these tiles, and they have different colors representing the different types of, chrysanthemums and different...
Those are flowers?
Yes, but they, I guess they eat
foliage?
Them. Yes, fauna, flora, which ones?
It'd be flora.
Yes, that's what it is. So there are different types, they're different colors, and you are laying tiles to expand your mammoth's paths and flower patches, and you get points for having large areas.
Very peaceful.
Yes, and it's very colorful. It's like these bright fluorescent colors.
The opposite spectrum end of team of dinosaurs hunting down.
So if you don't want the carnage of Jurassic Park, you can do more of the zen of mammoth.
Yes.
And laying your tiles and that sort of thing.
It is very cool, and I agree. Actually, there is kind of some zen that comes with the game. As you flip those tiles, like, it's really a gorgeous experience. Because the storyline, I guess, is that, like, it's after the Ice Age. I don't remember what the timeline is, but, like, everything is regrowing, right? Everything looks dead to start off with, and then you reveal this really beautiful flower thing everywhere.
Right, because the board itself is just this gray, and then as you put the very vibrant tiles on, it makes it very, very colorful. But that is Mammoth. It's coming either this week or next week. And look at our YouTube channel to see more about the game. Sarah.
Coming April 23rd is Robinson Crusoe, Escape from Despair Island. And this is a card game by Old Novel Games. This is probably not the one you're thinking of by Portal Games. This is a new card game. I don't have a whole lot of information about it, because I did not see anything on BGG or, but I do have, some files that they sent us, of the artwork from the game, and it's got some really nice art.
Yeah, it really
the cards does. Are done really well. Everything seems laid out really nice. I can't tell if it's a set collection or what kind of, how the gameplay works. But it does have good iconography on the card. So if this sounds like something you are interested in, you can check out Robinson Crusoe, Escape from Despair Island. Will.
One of the games that I'm looking at is called Monster Slaughter Underground. I think it was either a year or maybe 2 years ago that Monster Slaughter, the original game, came out on Kickstarter. It's a pretty cool looking game. You are monsters who who are attacking basically like vacationers in a like beach cabin type of thing.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, doesn't it? The artwork for it is super fun. Like, it kind of reminds me a little bit of that Smash Up look. But it's got, I don't know, it's just really bright, really cool. You play a family of monsters, actually. You're like the mom, the dad, and a kid. And you have to, like, explore this three-dimensional, it's a miniatures game, but the board for it is pretty cool. Like, the individual rooms have, like, stand-up vertical walls and stuff. And so it's a pretty slick one. I think it did really well on Kickstarter last year or 2 years ago. I can't remember when it came out. Monster Slaughter Underground is an expansion to that, and it adds a couple of new minis, it adds a couple of additional rooms, and it adds new special guests. I think that's what you call, like, the humans that visit your death cabin.
Yeah, your death trap.
Yeah. And then I guess each of those guests will have their own scenarios as well. So if you enjoyed Monster Slaughter, this sounds like a great addition. I think this might up the player count by one additional player, too. And it takes about, I don't know, 30 to 40 minutes to play the game. So it's a decently quick strategy-based location game, action point, dice rolling, variable player power stuff. So really cool artwork. Like I said, if you already own Monster Slaughter, this looks like a great addition. If you don't, check out the original because this is a pretty cool looking game. I think that's all of our Kickstarters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
We didn't really talk about poor Kevin, but he obviously has been missing this entire episode.
Yes, I think we're so excited to have Matt here. But
don't take it personal, Kevin.
Yes, Kevin was not feeling well, so he was very sad. He had to miss out on all the festivities.
Yeah, it's really too bad he missed out. We had a lot of fun.
We did. Dan came over as well, and we had a really good time playing some games. You definitely will want to tune in next week because we're going to recap all of that, and then we'll also have some videos coming out about it as well. I think we're going to cut this episode decently short because our Kickstarter is over, so we should take a moment to celebrate that.
Woo!
Kickstarter! I know, I can't believe it. Man, Sarah, are you ready to start fulfilling all those back rows?
Yeah.
Can I have a stuffing party?
Yeah.
We will.
This is technically...
Well, so I think it should be fine because some of our rewards will not even be sent to us until later this summer.
Should be fine for you. Poor backers,
I know. Poor backers do have to wait a little bit, but I will fulfill them as I have the stuff. So if I have the items to fulfill your reward, I will send it out as soon as I can, which usually is in a week or so from receiving it.
Yeah, so in real life, our Kickstarter campaign hasn't actually ended. We're at $19,000 on the line.
Oh, wow.
Exactly 19.
Pretty fantastic.
As we're speaking.
Yeah, I would never really have guessed that we would get that high. Like, I thought... Last year, I think we did like 6 or something, 7. And I thought, you know, we'll probably break 10. That'll be an exciting year. Double what I thought is pretty fantastic. Yeah. And we're technically, this is the final 48 hours. So right now, everybody's getting the notifications like, don't forget, this is your last chance to get the bundle and the promos. So very excited to see where that actually ends up at. We are already celebrating because we have passed the goal by a long shot. Mm-hmm. And by the time you hear this, we'll have gone way past and we'll be thrilled and delighted. I'll give good props to Kevin since he's not here. He worked really hard to team up with all of these publishers and designers and producers to get really cool custom promo cards, which I think helped us out a ton.
I think we had some really neat stuff.
144 or
at
more.
At least like 8 maybe promos that are Tantrum House related.
Specific, yeah.
Maybe even 10. So I know we have a Suburbia.
Yeah,
I was going to say, we have a Tantrum House in Suburbia now.
Yeah, awesome. It was needed.
Yeah,
was
absolutely. Needed.
Do all of those get added to the digital version of the game?
So we are doing some updates to the digital version, and we're trying to include as much as we can from our new collector's edition. So we'll do what we can, but we can't promise everything will be able to be in there, just because there's a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, understandable.
Hopefully Tantrum House makes it, but if it doesn't, it's a cut.
We won't hold it against you personally.
You'll have to just blame person, which is okay, too.
I think that one of the powers or things on the tile is you actually get negative points for restaurants. So someone asked us on our pages, like, oh, does Tantrum House not like restaurants? I was like, maybe the restaurants don't like it when people throw tantrums.
I mean, flipping tables is never, never appropriate.
No restaurant appreciates that. I can understand that. That's hilarious. I'm excited about a number of these promos. I am really pumped that Keymaster is hooking us up with a Parks promo, and I'm looking forward to playing a lot of these different games with their additional cards in them. Mm-hmm. Really thankful to all the people who donated bundles as well. We sold through a ton of those. I don't think we sold out of all of them, but several of the ones like where we had 3 copies of it, we sold 2 or 3 of the copies. So that's really exciting. I'm thankful to all those people who were willing to donate and help us and support us. And man, it feels really cool to be on this side of the Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what are you guys doing next weekend? Are we watching Endgame together?
We need to.
Yeah, I think we might be out of town.
Well, then
you have to wait. Wait one more week.
Fine, waiting the week.
You can
after.
Wait. Okay.
We'll wait the week after. We just won't read emails or Facebook or tweets or anything.
We should go and then just post about it like every day.
and then tag us.
Yeah. Tag.
Didn't you guys love that so-and-so
It'd be
died?
Some great revenge for some previous movies.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about it as soon as we can so that we ruin Ben's experience.
I was just thinking, if Ben wanted revenge, this would be Ben's chance to come with us.
Yes. There you go.
Opening night, and then Ben tells us everything that happened. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, you just saw Captain Marvel, right, Melissa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what'd you guys think?
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
So you guys are all caught up.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Nick Fury loses. Well, cool. I can't wait. I'm definitely looking forward to that one. Did anybody see Shazam?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yes.
Yeah? What did you think of it?
It is my favorite DC movie that's come out.
Okay.
Really? Yeah. I never really followed like the story of Shazam or anything, but as far as like a superhero movie goes, it is worth seeing. 100%.
I keep hearing that. Like,
me too.
I wasn't interested, but I keep hearing all of these people that I know like, oh yeah, it was actually really good. And I was like, now I'm considering.
I don't know. DC has set my bar so low.
Right.
I'm like, it
satisfied.
Doesn't take much.
Yeah, so I just watched Aquaman the other, last week.
Yeah,
it seems like they learned their lesson and finally took a ripped a page from Marvel's book where they have like some comedic timing in there, and there's some like, it's not just all dark. Like all the movies are just so, the DC movies are just so dark.
Shazam is more of a comedy type character though, right? He seems like a goofy superhero. Yeah.
Well, they definitely did that in the movie. I've heard, I'm going to probably get the whole origin story wrong, and you can correct me, Ryan.
No, I don't
Isn't Shazam the same as, like, Captain Marvel or something weird like that?
So Shazam actually, I think in the comic books, when he gains the powers and becomes Shazam, he actually becomes a different person.
Right.
But in the movie, he is still his 15-year-old self when he gets the powers. So he still acts as though he's, like, the younger kid. But I think in the actual comic books, when he gets the power, he is that guy. Like, he becomes a different person.
And is it Captain Marvel?
He's got a lightning bolt.
And I think, like, somebody else bought it out, and over time they switched it or something. But I think it's actually the same.
Oh, you're talking about, like, when they wrote the story.
Originally, he would say Shazam, and he would turn into Captain Marvel or somebody.
A female character?
Mr. Marvel. Maybe he was Mr. Marvel.
Maybe he was Mr. Marvel.
Yeah, I think DC did have a Marvel titled hero for a while there. Mm-hmm.
It was like a big controversial thing. I remember.
Yeah, I actually saw like the early release trailers that they were putting out like a long time back. And then near the release of the film, I saw what I thought was a trailer for it. But really, someone had just mashed up the movie Big with Tom Hanks with the original trailer, and I couldn't tell the difference until I was, like, halfway through. I was like, oh, okay, Tom Hanks. Yes.
That's hilarious.
I'd see Shazam starring Tom Hanks.
Right.
I am in line for that one. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's the same sort of thing.
Big was one of my favorite movies.
Middle schooler in an adult body.
And the genie guy is kind of creepy.
Yeah. Well, he gets his powers from the genie in a box.
Good times.
Yeah, it was 80s
children.
Yeah, I'm not following y'all very well. I've seen it, but I didn't think it was like that great. Yeah, awesome.
You probably weren't old enough to understand it.
Probably not.
Commodore 64 video games. Yeah. Oh man, they had it all going.
And then you got a job playing all the
scene in a movie history.
Almost reached that level of I just get to play board games as my job.
You like, are Tom Hanks.
I know. Whoa.
Is it weird that I'm turned on by that?
Yes.
Well, on that note, let's wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode. Tune in definitely next week because we're going to be talking about secret stuff.
Secrets.
See you guys. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss...
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.